हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Now this one that's working. Yes, turned on. So, and now we'll be beginning the, study of the basic scriptures that Srila Prabhupada had mentioned, what's known generally in ISKCON and giving you a Bhakti Shastri degree. This for in the academy here, that will give you a different degree. Because we'll be studying many, many different aspects or elements. Maybe sit over here. So then, because in this is that the studying of the Gita and the means Bhagavad Gita, Ishopanishad, Nectar, Devotion, Upadeshamrita. These are the basic books. Srila Prabhupada had been discussing this since the 60s about this kind of understanding that he wanted devotees to study these literatures and become proficient in the philosophy, right? Philosophy and practices. Prabhupada said if there's any complaint he had about his disciples, it was just this one thing. They didn't study his books. That's all. Nothing else. Committed, dedicated, preaching, you know, doing so many activities, but studying his books, being knowledgeable in his books, not so strong like that. So Srila Prabhupada envisioned that by 1975, he'd have disciples that have finished the Bhaktivedanta degree and would already be initiating disciples.
Right.
As it is to this day, no one in the, I mean, only, I think now, what canto they're in? I think they're up and doing, they're starting in the second, they're starting in the Bhaktivedanta level. I think they're on ninth canto or something, no?
No, it is tenth canto.
So they're in tenth canto.
The first 28 chapters of tenth canto was done this year.
Oh, okay. So that has only been going the last couple of years. Right? So that means basically 30 years late, but it happened. Right, better late than never. So the idea is that these things should go on. So then this is our form. We've had our Bhakti Shastri course. In fact, I think we were one of the first ones to publish actually a Bhakti Shastri study guide. I think Jagadish Maharaj had produced one, and we had produced one. Main difference is that for most, the chronological study or the overview of the scripture is what they will do. For us, is that's half of the study. Is that study should be there, and then after that, then you go back and study things according to the themes. And these themes then are given by the acharyas, right? There's no need for us to really dream up themes. That's not so important. So, amazing how penetrating the voices are. Right? I guess if they didn't have, then they wouldn't survive, right? If something goes wrong, if they just said, "Ouch," no one would hear them. But if it's like piercing, then people come running and all that. They're going to do mantra class?
Yeah.
Tell them to go to the next floor up. Okay. Cute. All of them together, then they get the words right. Somebody gets one syllable, somebody gets one letter. So you put it all together, that's what you're hearing. If you heard one kid, you might not want to know what they're saying, or you wouldn't even know what they're saying. That's a okay. So in other words, that's okay. Well, it means we'll get into this, but basically the principle is that there's going to be a chronological study. You know, in other words, there's an introduction so you know what's going on, a chronological study. Having studied it chronologically, that means just whatever topic comes in whatever order it comes, because there is a logical sequence by the method of presentation. The other is then going to be the study of it by also presentation, but there is no argument here. Does that make sense? Okay. That means even the preliminaries has to have a preliminary. It means these come out, these are part of the discussions. This will be discussed in detail in the evening class. Is that you have two forms of logical presentation. You have, they both based off of five principles, the Panchanga, which we'll discuss the details. But there's two forms of it. They follow the same thing, but one is for when you're discussing with someone who has a doubt. So you have to establish the principles. So you see Bhagavad Gita, you're going with that. Somebody has a doubt. You have to present it that way. So the scripture is always a conversation. There will be that element, right? The other one is that you just give a logical presentation because there is no doubt. Any doubt you want to bring up, you bring it up yourself. So there's, you don't have to follow, you're not working with mind here, you're working with intelligence, purely, right? In other words, you're giving a logical presentation, but you're having to deal with someone else's mind, how they accept and reject that. So therefore, you take tangents, you go this way and that way, you have to backtrack, you have to go to jump to something forward. You had a logical presentation, but you have to adjust it for the audience, right? So that's a natural form. That's why all the Vedic literatures basically are discussions, because that will come according to the form of people's presentation. Does that make sense? The other one is you are presenting a philosophical treatise the way you want to do it, in its logical order, like Vedanta Sutra. There is no one there arguing. Does that make sense? But it will be presented still in that same form of the Panchanga Nyaya. So it has slightly different terminology like that, but they are meaning the same thing, but they slightly have imports that are different because they can accommodate other aspects. It's not that when you're doing the one, when you're using one of the forms, you're not doing the other, but it's just which is prominent. Does that make sense? So that we'll get into detail in the evening. So therefore, the chronological study is to remove all the doubts. So once doubts are removed, you understand, you agree with that shastra, then you go back and now study it very analytically and very logically. So then you very clearly get all the points. Because otherwise, because of clearing doubts, Krishna will bring up you're not this body in this chapter, then again in that chapter, then again in another chapter. But when you study it by analyzation, all the elements that show that you're not this body are all put together in one place. Does that make sense? So you can see all the different aspects of you're not the body. The other one is presented to remove the doubts that you're not the body. Now it's a matter of understanding the fine points of it. Does that make sense? So with these two aspects, then you know the book. Prabhupada says first you read the book, then you study it. Right? This is the same thing. Does that make sense? So going through just once is not enough. It's going through by reading, because you have to read it to get the chronological thing, remove the doubts. Then you go back and analyze it. Right? And so we can come up with our own themes, you know, by our own intelligence, or we can use the themes that are given by the acharyas. So for Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada himself has written an analysis of Bhagavad Gita. Like that. It was done back in the 50s. It was done on his original Gita. And so somehow or another devotees have never recognized it. Because it is analyzation, it's not something that people are very used to. like that. So most devotees that have ever seen the analysis, they'll look at it and go, what's this all about? It makes no sense. Like that. Everybody I've ever showed it to, this is what they've said. Like that. But if you study it, or you understand through these traditional methods of study how to approach something, it makes perfect sense. And you can see what is going on there. Then you see it's basically laid out exactly as Vedanta Sutra. It's in the same form. It's that analysis, because the Vedanta Sutra is the analysis of the Vedic literatures. Right? The Sandarbhas are the analysis of the Bhagavatam. Right? So this analysis is the actual study of the Gita. Does that make sense? So these two together then make the course complete. So that's what will make one aspect that makes the course unique, like that. Then another aspect is that there'll be so much other aspects of the technical points of our philosophy, what will be there, how it falls, how it expands, how other sampradayas look at it, how the six schools of Vedic philosophy look at it, how the derivatives of that in your world religions and world philosophies, how the upasampradayas deal with all that, because there is only the philosophy given by God. There is the Veda. It is knowledge. Everything is based on that. Whether people understand it or not, whether they understand the personal or not, whether they even know it's connected to Veda or not, that's another point. So that is also given by the Acharyas, how this breaks down, so you end up with basically 26 different kinds of mentalities, that you end up with all the various religious processes and philosophical processes that there are in the world. Right? Does that make sense? So then basically, you know, we'll give you this, it means after, is that, so we'll start with his concepts and definitions of, it means this class will begin with that, we'll go through that, all that. Then that will make everything very clear. Then we'll get into what do you say? Yeah, then we're going to get into, we'll start with the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, and then we'll go through the Gita, supported by the books, small books that Srila Prabhupada mentioned, like that. In other words, whatever Prabhupada mentioned at any time that went into Bhakti Shastri that we're using, because at different times he gave different books, like that, and sometimes he'd emphasize one, sometimes he wouldn't. So we're using the accumulation of all that. So he mentioned the little books, because they're all on Bhagavad Gita, different chapters. But these little books are all the books that were either written by Prabhupada or commissioned by Prabhupada during his presence. Like that. So there's 12 books. Four of them he wrote. Eight of them, I think, is basically Hayagriva put together. Like that. They're all these known books. You know, I think it's mentioned. Yeah. Easy Journey to Other Planets, Topics of Spiritual Science, Beyond Birth and Death, Message of Godhead, Knowledge of the Supreme, Perfection of Yoga, On the Way to Krishna, So Science of Devotion, Path of Perfection, Rajavidya, Renunciation Through Wisdom, The Deluded Thinkers, Highest Use of Intelligence, Elevation. Oh, wait a minute. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. No, this has got all of them in there. This has got the ones that Prabhupada didn't do. No, some of these we don't do. Easy Journey to Other Planets, Prabhupada wrote. Beyond Birth and Death, Message of Godhead, Messages of Godhead he wrote. It wasn't published by us. I think Bhakti Gaurav Nrisinga Maharaj, he published it, like that. BBT will publish it. It's just a matter of working out with him details of the editing. Then let's see. Then Perfection of Yoga, On the Way to Krishna, Path of Perfection, I think Prabhupada wrote. Rajavidya, Renunciation Through Wisdom, he wrote. That was in Bengali. That was the Vairagya Vidya, like that. Deluded, Elevation to Krishna Consciousness, and The Matchless Gift. Srila Prabhupada wrote that also. And one that's not in here, Reservoir of Pleasure, that will also be included. These other ones we won't use. So then, so that Gita, they'll be studied along with the chapter. In other words, they are either books he wrote on those chapters of Gita or his lectures. And so then that will bring out some other points that are there, like that, just some highlights. Then, yeah. And then having done that also, then we will study the deity worship, Pancharatra Pradeep, probably also along with, you know, an overview of the Narada Pancharatra, so we understand what is the Pancharatric scriptures, so we understand how our deity worship book's not just another book, because otherwise you just take it, oh, it's just some things of how you do some puja, rather than understanding what is the Pancharatra. As it is now, probably very few devotees could even explain it, what Pancharatra is, or how it fits into our line, like that. So all this one should know, otherwise. And then after that, then we'll conclude with books of the Acharyas that are the conclusions, or that basically deal with all the topics, you know, of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, you know, in its basic form, like that. So that will be one, that will be this class at this time of day, right? Where the more, how you say? For this class, then, would be where any work that you're doing, any study, essays to be written, all that will come out of this class. And that will all be coordinated by Pandavabandha Prabhu, and I don't know, you're involved in it or whatever. He's the one coordinating here, just as Shanti Prabhu is coordinating for the Bhagavatam study. So then, and then in the class in the evening, that will be dealing with technical philosophy. That will be more discussion and only occasional, essays and stuff to be written. So there won't be, that'll be more listening, but you need to listen because there won't be as much study. And so anytime you have to write essays, it has to be based off of that. In other words, because it's technical points, it will keep going through it until it's understood. There's less matter to deal with, but it will be more discussed. In the morning, there's more matter to deal with, but it's more straightforward. We're more familiar with the Bhagavad Gita. So then these books, then it will, that we should go more simply. Does that make some sense? Right. Okay, so then, what are we dealing with here? Okay, so, I mean, it doesn't so much matter which one we work with. Okay, is there any questions on this? How this will be run?
Well, sorry, but this one point from the beginning, you say that, for instance, the Vinata Sutra, he has a way of being presented with also the arguments for the different modes that people, as well as within the Bhagavad Gita. There is two, these two ways. It's not clear to me in the sense that...
No, because I didn't get into much detail. He's in the evening class from 4 to 5.
Yeah.
That today we'll go through. I have a... This is our first study. This is on the Nyaya. On the Nyaya, establishing how we're going to study,
okay.
Like that, because the evening is more on the basically the Vedic concepts of philosophy, you know, how it works, why we use it, you know, becoming proficient in it, how the different acharyas and sampradayas do use it, how derivatives of this are used in the modern, like an example would be Upanishads. The Upanishadic knowledge means you know what is God, you know, what is your concept of God, what is your concept of the jiva, what is your concept of the material world, what's the relationship between these three. The fourth point is then, what is your process of elevation? And the fifth point is, what is the nature of the soul once he has become perfect? Right, so everybody's can fall into that. So we can see from the Upanishads, you know, it's very great. God is a person, Bhagavan, Krishna, Braja Krishna for us. The Jiva, Tasta Shakti, his servant. The material energy is Brahman, his means, but it's inferior, it's used, but to be used by the Jiva in the Lord's service. The process of sadhana is going to be that, and the direct service will be chanting of the holy name. The position of the soul, having obtained that, is eternal servant of Krishna. And so then eternally goes on. The impersonalist will have a different view, like that. And then you take modern religion. What's God? How he's some guy that's very terrible to behold. No one can look at him. And if you do, you burn your eyes out. So therefore, don't bother. The soul is the body. the material world, that if dealt with in a pious way is heaven. The method of sadhana, be nice, be good, turn the other cheek. And the perfection, you know, once you get there, you are the enjoyer. You understand? So it puts any religious or philosophical system very plainly in view. Otherwise, if we say, please discuss Christianity, we'll come up with all kinds of stuff that might sound very different than what I just said. But what I said is basically what is being preached. A few will go beyond that. But generally, if you push a little bit, they can't. Because you say, what is God? They'll say, he has no form. So ultimately, they're impersonalists. But at the same time, they want to get to heaven. So they got this mix. It's very obvious that there's some mixed thing. Their philosophy and their social and their religion are two different things. They don't even know that. You know what I'm saying? So this is what we will study in the evening class so that we're aware of this. So that will enhance our study in the morning. But you can't do them both at the same time. Like that.
I was trying to focus because I forgot, I actually don't know. They do this.
No, but I'm saying in the evening we're going to describe the two.
No, it was because you made gave already one explanation. It was very nice regarding how one commenting on Vedanta Sutra doesn't care about the flow.
No, it cares about the flow. It doesn't care about who's arguing.
Correct.
There's only Badarayani. He's only writing.
So depending on the audience. Then.
Yeah. In the commentaries, then they'll deal with the opposition. And he'll even deal with it there. He'll say, you know, Jaimini says this, that one says that. But it's on his terms. It's not on their terms. So that's the difference. Is if the presentation is on our terms, it follows one line of definition. If it's on, depending on the audience, it follows the other. So the point is the evening class is discussing according to our going through. The morning class, the first half of it is according to, you know, working out all the doubts. The second half of it then is according to, you know, just straight our presentation. Like that. Does that make sense? So in other words, everything's going to be based off of this, what we'll discuss in the evening, this Panchanga Nyaya, like that, because that's just the way the scriptures work. It may not be very well known, but by having, you know, by dealing with the first lesson here, then it will be clear, like that. So in the evening, the first lesson is establishing the educational objectives of the Vedic scriptures. How you're dealing with Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, the Panchanga Nyaya. You're dealing with, what do you call it? The Mangalacharan, what do they call that? Anubandha Chatushtaya. So there's all these different technical terms that we come across all the time. We see them always, but we just don't know what they are and don't necessarily appreciate the technical aspect of them. Like that. Because every book has a Mangalacharan, but what's in that Mangalacharan we may not have caught. So all these things will be discussed. Okay, anything else? Yes?
Marsh, can you say something about the different levels of involvement and how long the course is going to go?
Okay. Basically, it means I see as you have two levels of involvement. Maybe more, correct me if I'm wrong. One, those who want to get actual credit for this, means we're going to try to move through it in the proper pace once the introduction is there. So by next week, it'll be more clear on that. Means this today and tomorrow, we'll basically be doing more of the introductory. And from next week, then we'll see how it goes from there. Is that there will be the study. Means you do the study, you do the essays like that. Then at the end of the course, you get a degree for that, like that. From this, there's actually, because it's two courses running, there'll be two degrees for it. They're connected, but there's two different degrees. Then there is, on the second course, the evening one, it actually has two parts. So it actually has two degrees in it. One part will deal with on 1 year, the other will deal on 2 years. So that also answers there. Our course will run for 3 years, like that. Otherwise, this is not a three-month crash course. This is 3 years. You want to absorb all this so that you're actually able to study Bhagavatam, right? We went through, I think it was a year and a half on the second canto, right? That should have been done, you know, in 4 months, right? But because we're answering questions based on this Bhakti Shastri level, therefore we couldn't. It wasn't a problem, we understood it because this wasn't ready. We were happy to do it like that. But the idea is once you finish this, then to be able to go through one of those chapters in the Bhagavatam will take 2 days. Right? So that means you do 150 chapters or half of the Bhagavatam in 3 years. 2 chapters a week. With no problem. Like that. Because you'll already understand all the foundation and basis what the Bhagavatam is. Because the Bhagavatam is the conclusion of all the Vedic literature. So everything that's there anywhere else is there. So it will be the most deep and most difficult to understand. So the idea is through the this course, then has the eyes to look at it. Previously, when it was developed, this course from 84, then it was called Shastra Chakshus, the whole thing. It was so that one could see through the eyes of Shastra, you know, like that. That's the idea. Then one gets into the next level, which was the Darshan Chakshus, when one sees actually the different, Darshans or the philosophy, like that, that the Bhagavatam is giving. Then Vedanta Chakshus, where one is understanding the conclusions. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita Prema Chakshus, where one is able to understand that the whole element of rasa, right? Because otherwise you're dealing mainly with the philosophy, though rasa is introduced in the Bhagavatam, you know, in a very serious way. But the analyzing it is done in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Does this make any sense? Like that. So it's a 3-year course that right now we're running 2 periods during this term because this is a very good term for study. Also in the day it won't be hot, so we have in the morning 7 to 8 and then the evening 4 to 5. And then we'll see if everyone's comfortable. I mean, that means depending upon the mood and all that, then for the summer after Gaur Purnima, then we'll either not run the evening class if it's too difficult, like that, and only run the morning class. Or we'll run both classes, but we'll wait until then and see how everyone feels, right? That. So we're making no decisions on that now. Does that make sense? So in other words, then if you want to take the course, then means if you're already a registered student, fine. If not, then you register, and then you know, then it's known, because then those things you'll be supplied with the papers and all that. We'll do like we did in the Bhagavatam until the course is fully written the way we basically like it, then it'll be made into a book, it'll be more available. Otherwise, it's only available in bits and pieces as we do, you know, page by page, chapter by chapter, whatever it is that will be done, like that. Okay, anything else? Yeah, otherwise you can sit and listen like that and all that, but that, you know, you'll get benefit, you'll have heard everything, just means that unless you do this study and write the essays, then you won't get the degree. That's all. You'll have the knowledge, but you won't have the degree. Okay. And questions would also be very careful. It'll be preferred for registered students. Others then can ask if it is relevant, for taking for that. But otherwise, it's mainly being geared for the students like that. Vrindavan, they run like this also. But there's 2 students and 30 people or 20 people who are not. They're just listening. So therefore, and I think they never do questions. The class ends and that's it. Since we like to deal with questions, therefore, those who are students will be keeping up. They'll understand what we're talking about. It won't go back. That was a problem before when we left it open, is that Atmatattva had a difficulty, so when he was dealing with later parts of the course, then someone would come and listen and ask a question that was already covered, you know, last year. And so that would disturb the other students. So that's why we're saying if it's relevant, we'll take the question if you're not a student. But if it's not, then we won't, because then it'll disturb the actual flow of the course like that. So, yes.
For people who can't attend all of them, then
yes. Anybody who, it means you're here first time now, or you have to go out or anything, then through correspondence, then you can just continue. You'll get your, you know, what you're supposed to do, study that, write your essays.
You'll be able to do that classes.
Yeah, here you can hear the classes, so like that. So there's no problem. It's always an advantage if you're here, you catch the mood. If you're here, take advantage of the classes because the interaction is always better than if you just listen on the tape. Because on listening on the tape, you can get distracted by other things because there's you're listening to a tape in your environment. But when you're at the lecture is the environment. So there'll be slightly different focus in that. Not I mean, it's not much, but it's still there's an advantage like that. So that's recommended. Okay? Something else? Anything else? Thank you. Okay. So then start off here. So yeah, okay. So that means 7 o'clock we start the 7:50 means we're running we're using Srila Prabhupada's periods, his schedules, which was it was specifically for Gurukul, which is 50 minutes and then 10 minute break. Right? So means for the adults then you just relax a little, do whatever you want. For the kids then they transform back into their natural state, you know, and then at 8 o'clock then they become, you know, by some variety of artificial means become a human again. And, you know, are able to hold that together for another 50 minutes. So 50 minutes was basically the time frame that Prabhupada found that people could focus very nicely and everything and then have a 10-minute break. So that's the same. So 7 to 7:50, and then the evening, 4 o'clock to 4:50, like that. Then at 5 o'clock, it means don't expect to stay after and ask questions and that, because at 5 o'clock, then we have other classes with the mantra classes with the students and all. Like that. Means if you have questions, you know, for others, for Shanti Prabhu or for Pandava Bandava Prabhu or Shanti's wife, then you can that's no problem. You can sit with them at that time like that unless they have other plans and that, you know. Puchkawala opens at 5, so you know, like that. You know, this important work is there. Except if it rains. If it's raining, then you're sure you can catch them. Okay, so then we have a whole list of kind of philosophical definitions. Means we'll get these to you in a day or two. So we go through so you can remember. Is that these are things to define so you understand where we're coming from. We're going to go through them fairly quickly so you're familiar with them because they'll constantly come up. And so by usage, then you'll get comfortable with them. Right now is to acquaint you with them so that it doesn't it makes sense. The whole idea is basically sambandha abhideya prayojana is the basic formula for everything. Everything can be defined in this. It's the main thing we'll work with. There are other forms of it. You have means, but we will deal with specifically that. That you have, you're dealing with relationship, you're dealing with process, you're dealing with result. Right? Means until you understand relationship means what are the elements of the field, what relationship they have with each other, what relationship they have with the goal, what they have with the process, you won't actually be able to perform the process properly. The process is not performed properly, you will not get the result you want. Right? Just like they say, you know, the famous, the end justifies the means. But anybody who's ever used that never got the ends they wanted. Right? They use these bad means to get peace. They never got it. It just never happened. Why? Because the process they used was to get a different goal. They don't know it. The two go together. Does that make sense? So, therefore, then a very clear understanding of this sambandha jnana then makes everything work. As we see in the Upanishads, out of 5 principles, 3 are sambandha. Right? Means God, the living entity, and the material energy, and their relationship. So that's sambandha jnana. Prabhupada mentions in the Gita, you know this, you have knowledge. Right? Because everything comes from there. Because you know the living entity has to perform service, the living entity is trying to develop love of God. These are the other 2 points. But it's still, you're dealing with theory. So technically, it's still all sambandha. When you apply it, that's abhideya. When you get the result, that's prayojana. But when you discuss it, even you're discussing abhideya, technically it's sambandha. Does that make sense? It's a discussion on abhideya, so it's an abhideya shastra. Nectar devotion is an abhideya shastra. the knowledge of it is sambandha. That you're studying it, that's abhidhaya. That you practice it, that's abhidhaya. But that you study it, that's sambandha. Does that make sense? Like that. Then you know what is devotional service. You know who you are, what's devotional service, what's Vaishnavas, everything like that. Does that make sense? Because you're discussing the process. If you're just discussing, like Prabhupada mentions of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that's a sambandha shastra. Right? Because Sanatana Goswami is the sambandha acharya. So then there, his book then is discussing what is God, what is Vaishnavas, what is, you know, the process, all these different things. So based on that, then Rupa Goswami is taking from Sanatana Goswami's Hari Bhakti Vilas and then bringing that into Nectar Devotion. Right? So in other words, all the elements of Sambandha are represented in the Abhideya. But Abhideya's application of that Sambandha. Is this clear? Like that. Then Prayojana is the result. One is it's the result that you want to get. It's the result that you do get. Right? Because Prayojana has to be visited twice. For the mind, it has to go there first to decide that I'm going to actually perform the activity. And two, having performed the activity, you will reach that spot. Does that make sense? So in other words, one is a feeling, the other is an actual observable result. But once that result has come, then that becomes more part of Sambandha. We'll discuss that when we get to that. Does this make some sense about these three? So that's okay. So now different forms of this. So that was relationship, process, and result. That's generally the terms that Prabhupada uses the most, like that. Then other forms that he'll use is thinking, feeling, willing, right? So relationship, process, result, that is just applying it according to the intelligence, right? It means this is the second of the two that we were talking about. Is it just, well, by the evening we'll turn it around and make that the first. But it means the logical presentation according, it means there's no obstacles. So therefore, you're going Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, right? That's just a logical, intelligent way of presenting it. Then, for the mind, because the mind has to accept it, right? We're dealing with obstacles here. Obstacles means the mind, right? Not intelligence. Intelligence just points things out. Mind accepts and rejects, so that's where it comes. Then you're going thinking, feeling, willing. You're going Sambandha Prayojana Abhideya. Because unless the mind accepts the goal, it won't agree to act because it's in control of the senses. Right? It means by intelligence, the senses function. In this way, then the intelligence is the lord of the senses. Because without intelligence, the sense doesn't work. But what work the intelligence is going to do, that's given by the mind. Does that make sense? By intelligence, the sense can work, right? Because it's intelligence, so you go, oh, this is a pillar, and that's the floor. I can tell the difference. That's intelligence. But why I'm doing that, or what I would do with that knowledge, right? Oh, it's a pillar, so I can lean against it, or something, you know? So then, that's the mind. Does that make sense? Right? So, therefore, these two methods are important to understand because these are the two processes. Therefore, this is the basis of your two forms of logic. It's the same thing, Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. It's just you make some adjustment because you're adding the mind to it. Does that make sense? So, in other words, one, you're dealing just with intelligence. The other, you're dealing with intelligence and mind. Like that. So therefore, you know, in other words, if the mind's already accepted it, you can just do it in one way. If the mind hasn't accepted it, you have to get the mind to accept it. So it's slightly different. It still is the same because we say thinking, feeling, willing, so that you're going to go Sambandha Prayojana Abhideya, but by performing the Abhideya, what's going to happen? You're going to get the Prayojana. So basically it's the same thing. It's just a matter of convincing the mind. That's why you touch on the Abhideya, then it comes. You know, it's like a music. You touch the higher note and you come to the main note. Right? You don't hear them just say the note. It's always, they come into, it's the note. You're saying this note. You're not using, the higher note's not the note. Does that make sense? You're still saying, like when these classical musicians start and you hear them singing, they're only singing one note. You think they're singing so many notes, but they're showing how to approach that note. That's all they're doing. It's one note. And then they'll move to the next note, and everything's around that note. Then the next note. So it's always where it ends up. Then you know that's where it is. So it's sambandha, then it touches on prayojana, then it comes to abhideya, then you get prayojana. But it's just for the mind, you have to throw that in, the goal. So therefore, thinking, feeling, willing. Because if someone's doing something, it means they've accepted it. If they're not doing it, it means they haven't accepted it. So if the person doesn't either know how to do it, it means that he has no knowledge. I don't know how to do this. That means he has no sambandhagan. I don't want to do this. It means he doesn't have the prayojana. Like that. Does that make sense? Or he is doing it, but he's doing it wrong. It means he also doesn't have sambandha. Or he doesn't know where he's going with it. You know what I'm saying? So by this, you can identify what's going on, what's wrong, or what's right. Does that make sense? In other words, from all this, you're going to understand how the mind intelligence works. You'll be able to understand things for yourself. And from that, you'll be able to use that for others. Does that make sense? Like that? So it's a vision. It's a way of seeing. You're not going to be memorizing verses or this or that. Important verses will be important because they constantly come up. But it's not a matter of you can cough up 50 verses with all the word for word and all that, and then you pass. Like that, because if I come back 2 weeks after that test, I guarantee if I said write down all those 50 verses, there's a good chance you wouldn't be able to do it. And if I came back after 1 year, you wouldn't be able to find them at all, unless you're using them already in your preaching. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of knowledge we're not looking for. We're looking at for, this is the basis of how, you know, you're going to use it today in your life and for the rest of your life. Does that make sense? So it's a different approach. The knowledge. This is the Vedic method. Like that. Does that make sense? Other methods are based on generally modern academic methods, which is to get the knowledge across. But as we see, knowledge is one of its sambandha. Then you have abhideya prayojana. So if you don't apply it in your life, what's the meaning of the knowledge? If you don't know why you should apply it, you won't apply it. So the people don't apply it because they don't know that they should. Or why they should. Does that make sense? So this is okay. So then next then you have, I mean, so we're just going through different how it's used. Where is that? Okay. Yeah, then you have Chit, Achit, and Ishwara. Okay? So then you have Chit is knowledge, Achit is ignorance, Ishwara is the Supreme Lord. So now in here then, we're taking, means Ishwara, he is the foundation of everything. Right? Let's do Sat, Chit, Ananda first. So Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So you have eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Right, so eternity, that is the basis. Everything is based on that. Krishna is eternity. He is everything. Everything else expands from him. Right, so he is the full form of Sat. Right, Chit means then your knowledge and your activities. Right, and Ananda is the resultant happiness you'll get from having performed an activity. Does that make sense? Right. So then Sat, Chit, Ananda. So then in that you also get Chit, Achit, Ishwara. Means, depending how you want to put this together. Then your Chit is going to be your knowledge potency. It means what it is, how to perform the activities. Then your Ishwara and Achit, then depending upon how you're going to put it, then they can switch places. The Lord is the basis of everything in this, but the goal of the living entity is, Achit, you know, in other words, ignorance. So then the living entity foolishly is involved in the material energy for gaining material gains, Right? So he's using this knowledge that he gains in the world to get material gains. So you can put it this way. The other way you can also put it is your achit means your ignorance, because that's your basis of material existence. Right? And Ishwara will be your goal that you're trying to obtain too. Through chit, you'll get yourself from achit to service at the lotus feet of Ishwara. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. The Mayavadis make a mistake. They think they are Ishwara. So that's a problem. Right? But in here then, that ignorance, passion, and goodness. It's another form. When you take Satchitananda and then expand it, then your Sat is your eternal position. That's your basis, right? The transcendental platform. In the material world, ignorance is the basis, right? Because you're ignorant of your relationship with Godhead, therefore you're in the material world, right? Then passion is going to be your activity. And passion is always in the future because you want something. Okay? So that means it has that touch on the goal. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So we see that that element is there. And so, how do you say? Yeah. Your passion will be your activities. Then goodness will be your goal, what you're trying to obtain too. Does that make sense? But the passion, unless it's touched on that, it can't act. Does that make sense? Right? Is that clear? Okay, because now I'm going to switch it. Is you can also switch it if you want to, and then this is in like knowledge, understanding. If you want to apply it, then they become switched. Right? Because then goodness is what you have to act on now. It's in the present. Now if you're dealing with time, passion is in the future. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, your activities in the present have to be based on goodness. If it's being performed with knowledge, with detachment, right, with devotion, it gets the proper result. Right? That's what Krishna is saying. Krishna, when he gives conclusion to Arjuna, right, he's not saying, yes, know this Bhagavad Gita very nicely, or, you know, everything like that. Or he's saying, perform your duties, which means activity, right? With knowledge. So that activity is done with knowledge, so that makes it chit, right? With detachment, right? So then it's the quality of it goes up. It's not passion. It has to be goodness, right? To perform your duties, that means it's based on shastra. It's austerity, so it's goodness. With knowledge, without attachment, then you're being performing that thinking of Krishna and for Krishna. So the goal is for Krishna, right? Because if it's how unless it's detached, how will it be for Krishna? Does that make sense? So Krishna is talking about the present, what you're going to do right now. Because the discussion is, what is Arjuna going to do right now? It's not what he's going to do later. He's on the chariot, it's time to fight. So the question is, what is Arjuna going to do now? Does that make sense? So the whole idea is it's all in the present. So therefore, motive goodness comes here. Passion is in the future, what you'd like. Ignorance is in the past. Right? So that's why a person is overwhelmed by passion and ignorance. They're never in the present. So therefore, they never get good results. They never get anything lasting, because only the motive goodness lasts. Passion and ignorance are fleeting. You know, or ignorance lasts, but it doesn't get anything done. Right? Does that make sense? We also see this principle that sometimes we can take two things and depending upon their perspective, we can move it. Right? Just like we've already done that in one thing, is that means the first thing that we did, didn't bring it out, we'll bring it out now, is this knowledge. Right? We're taking knowledge and putting it in Sambandha, because that's its natural place. But at the same time, as action is done with knowledge. So in other words, learning the knowledge is Sambandha. Applying the knowledge is Abhideya. So that's why when we were doing elements before, and the process is the application, but you're using knowledge. Right? So that's why sometimes you see, it means when we're dealing with knowledge, which is intelligence. The intelligence can be put into the Abhideya category. Right? Does that make sense? But other times it'll be put into the Sambandha, so that they can move. So these things, so the whole idea is that all these different forms are there of Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana, but they have different applications. At different times we'll do different things. Right? Does that make sense? So we just have to be aware of that, which one we're using. Then we won't be confused. Right? Something? Or it's just a, okay. Then we have Madan Mohan, Govinda, Gopinath. So Madan Mohan is attraction, Govindaji is application, Gopinath is your goal or your love. So Madan Mohan, he's the one that attracts us to himself, right? He's the most all-attractive one. So that's your sambandha, your relationship. Only if you're attracted, then there's a relationship. You're not attracted, no relationships, right? Then Govinda, then without the instructions, there is no application. But Govinda is the pastimes. That is the activities. Gopinath then is that goal, developing love for him. So there's attraction, there's attachment. Right? These are experiences. But the pastime is an activity. Does that make sense? The gopis are attracted to Krishna. They're attached to Krishna. But nothing's happening. They're feelings. The pastime is action. Does that make sense? At the same time as you get all the feelings. Because the knowledge is being used, the action is going on, and that result is coming. So in Abhideya, you get the experience of all three. But so it's only through action that it's full. That's why someone only does one or the other. It's not full. Right? Does that make sense? That's why is someone may be thinking about something, and that's very nice, but unless you do it, it's not going to happen, right? So, you approve of the bridge? Okay, we're working on it. Like that. The problem is we couldn't get the spikes right, you know, on the underside, you know, the thing. You know, like that. Okay. So we're going to have that Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, like that. But so we're devotees of Govindaji, because Rupa Goswami is the Lord of is the Acharya of Abhideya. His deity is Gopinath, Govindaji, right? Sanatan Goswami is the Acharya of Sambandha. Madan Mohan is his deity, like that. And yeah. So that's basically what we discuss. Gopinath, then that's because that's generic for all Gaudiyas. Does that make sense? Where you take it from there may be a difference. Therefore, there may be a difference in who you take as your acharya there. In general, we'll take it's Gopinath, his devotee, then is Madhu Pandit. But for us, Raghunath Das is our Prayojana Acharya, right? Like that. So because then you're getting the. You came in and then the mist came. So you brought that with you from the dojo. Oh, okay. Okay, form, qualities, pastimes. So you have a form. This is another form of so you have form, that's your external observable, you know, that's what the knowledge is about. So you have the form of something. Wait a minute, we're over the time here. Okay, so we'll end now. We'll continue with this then tomorrow. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jainitai Gaur Premanandi.
So in the evening then we'll do this, the Nyayasar, the essence of logic. That'll be the foundation for then going through technically our philosophy, like that. And so, 4:00.
sense. It's very good. If it didn't make sense, it wouldn't make sense. No, we're just talking now. Whatever a woman wants, but according to the nature of a woman, because sometimes she'll say something and she means something else. Yeah. You know, like she says, you know, you annoy me, get out of here. Mm. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to leave. It just means that whatever you're doing that annoying her has to stop. Because the point is it's crooked, so they'll be saying this, they mean this. Mm. You know, but it can't turn into that, because the point is. Means, in other words, whatever it is, you've come these steps towards. Mm. So whatever is the last step you made, that was wrong. Mm. So that you have to move back to the last one. If you don't do that right, she'll keep moving you back until you are out the door. Mm. Does that make sense? So it's a matter of dealing with it according to that, because they have requirements that has to be fulfilled, but you have to know what they are to fulfill them. And then you have to be able to apply a time, place, and circumstance to what is the necessity of the time, and also what's the actual individual nature. Because each individual will be slightly, the detail will be slightly different. The principles will always be the same. Mm. Like
that. So it's not that as long as you satisfy them, they won't take advantage.
The point is it's them taking advantage is part of the whole thing, is that they have to know that they can take advantage. Like that, if they can do that, then they'll stop taking advantage. But it's because the point is you just say you can do whatever you want, but then they'll try it. You know, they have to be proven that they can do whatever they want. And if you can handle that, then they're comfortable. Then they'll move back into something normal. But they'll always push it beyond just to make sure that what's there is. You know, it's just like when you test the ice. You know, you test here. You know, it's not just. So it's you put something heavier on it than what you would. Yeah. So if it passes that, you know, it's just like, what if it's, you know, the king, he wants to check and see if the chandelier will fit, because he ordered a chandelier bigger than one in Buckingham Palace. But they said, that's very heavy. Will the roof hold it? He says, okay, let's check. He brought an elephant and then hoisted the elephant up. And if the elephant didn't bring the roof down, then how do you fall? The chandelier is going to fit. You know, so that's always the thing. That's just the way they are. But them being, the point is just because they can take advantage, but the point is they have to do these things. The man volunteers to be involved in this. That's his independence. Yeah. The woman has to behave like this, so she can't behave any other way. So many times the men think, if I'm taking advantage of, then that's this. But the point is it being taken advantage of with the relationship or without? If it's without relationship, that you want to avoid. But it's within a relationship, then that's just the way it is. That's what makes the relationship more mature, more deep, more intimate. So in other words, the key of what you're looking for is through these things that seemingly aren't what men want. But the point is everything's obtained through austerity. So the things the men would consider austerity are the actual means of obtaining what they're looking for in an association with women. Like that. They want it without. But that doesn't work. You know, it's just you don't win the Olympics by, you know, sitting on the couch and eating chips. You know, you have to do the austerity. Then you get that.
It's across the board as well, spiritual.
It's the exact same thing. Is that, in other words, it's equal opportunity. It means the sadhu, he goes through so much difficulty. So he mentally has no difficulty as long as he's in the right state of mind. Physically, there may be difficulty. The grihastha, you know, so
because of the physical difficulty, therefore he uses that to develop the right state of mind. You know, for the grihastha, the physical difficulty isn't there, it's emotional difficulty, but he uses that to develop the same state of mind. But it's easier to deal it with the adiyatmik or adidaivik. It's more difficult with the adibhotik. But that's the point, is that the grihastha has chosen the inferior path. That's why it's considered second class. Like that, it's because he could get the same thing by just through simply the means of self-realization. But here, then the grihastha, then through that inspiration that is there by the association of women, he is doing exactly the same thing as the brahmachari, the vanaprastha sannyas. It's exactly the same thing. But it's just the medium through which it comes is different. But what he has to learn and what he can get from it are exactly the same. Therefore, the brahmachari could become self-realized, the grihastha could become self-realized, if they understand the process. If they don't understand the process, then they won't. But it's the same. So the grihastha's whole thinking is it's the man-woman thing. No, it's you dealing with, you know, all there is you, God, and his energy. So the point is, and it's God's energy. It works according to his laws. So therefore, it means you can attain God by dealing with his energy according to his laws. Right? So in the spiritual world, you serve his internal potency according to his rules. Then you develop love for Krishna. The same way you deal with the energies here in this material world according to his laws, with the right attitude, then you develop your relationship with him. But from this, you develop that on the platform of Brahman. You liberate yourself. The interaction with your wife doesn't develop prema for Krishna. It develops your relationship with Krishna on the Brahman platform. That he is Brahman, you're Brahman, so you're out in the material world. Then as Brahman, serving Brahman, then you can take up the Bhagavan aspect. You know what I'm saying? It means your sadhana is Bhagavan. Your discussions on Krishna consciousness, your service is that, but the principle of male, female, husband, wife, that you're dealing with Brahman there, because it's universal form to universal form. You know, the masculine aspect flowing to the feminine and back, like this, that's what's going on. So then technically you can liberate yourself through that. So that's why the science needs to be known. But some think that by knowing the science, you know, then ignorance is bliss, so you lose out on it. No, this is actually how you get it. The ignorant man is not blissful. You may think he is. But woman in ignorance may be blissful, that's okay. But the man can't be. The man has to be knowledge. So he says, spiritual husband, religious wife. So that means if he's not looking at it from the spiritual point of view, he won't be a good husband. Only a spiritualist will be a good husband. Only an advanced spiritualist will be a good husband. These others, like you see, they're doing a nice job, the families are together, they'll never divorce, they have kids, everything's really wonderful. But there is elements of the feminine nature that they're not taking care of, so the women are still a little dissatisfied. Therefore, the women always have this poker-faced look on their face. You know? But it is as good as it gets other than that. But you take it a step further, they have the spiritual understanding and practice. You never hear one complaint from Devahuti. Nothing. You know, because he's like the perfect husband.
Also you made a comment about when the samandas is when a man knows that there's knowledge, has a knowledge or something that doesn't apply, then it's also useless in a relationship. He has to apply, like, you know, the couch potato.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, he doesn't do anything. He provides the house, provides everything else, but he doesn't provide the interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So that has to be done. That doesn't seem to get done generally.
It has to be done. It has to be done constantly. It's not that you can do it and sit back. Men's used to, I do this activity, I got the result, I can sit back. Because as soon as something comes into prayojana, it moves back into sambandha. So that can be used to advantage. It means as soon as it comes back, then your field is bigger, then you move forward more. You know, so it's just like money. When you have money, it goes out. You sell something, the money comes back. Now you have more. I sent out $100. I bought goods. It's out. I sold the goods. Now what comes back is $200. It always comes back. Then I put out again. You know, so that's the whole thing. It always comes back. So the man, the point is he thinks it's come back because his situation is in sambandha. He thinks now, you know, it's fine. You know, enjoy it. But enjoy is on the other side. You want to get to the enjoyment, you have to do action again. So it's constantly, you're always acting, always having that knowledge. So therefore, then that enjoyment is there. So they think that they'll just do it. Well, women, they are enjoyment. So therefore, you always have to be active. And to get to them, you always have to be active. And since they're the passive one, you have to be the active one. You know, and as you're active, then they can act. You know, like that.
Same way Krishna is always acting, always engaged in Leela by his activity.
Yeah, yeah, he's always engaged. Same time as he engages in the activity according to the nature of the other person. As you surrender, he reciprocates. So whatever mood the woman is in, that's the way you're going to behave. You're always making the step, but you'll make that step according to her mood. That's what we mean by always taking the woman into consideration. But taking that step, that's the masculine thing, but that's what's not understood. Therefore, they think if I do it according to the woman, therefore I'm not masculine. No, but doing it according to yourself, that's feminine. Yeah, yeah. That's why then there's a problem, because then the pecking order has to be done. So as far as law goes, the husband is superior to the wife. You know, he's the boss. But as far as the relationship and all that, the wife is comfortable when she controls it. Like that. So then there's always going to be a fight in the pecking order. Because the woman needs rasa, so she needs to feel that she's in control. Otherwise, if she's not in control, she doesn't feel that the relationship is solid. Because if she can't control it, then how will she get any enjoyment out of it? Right? But the man is controlling because it's his environment that the woman is controlling him in. She's not controlling him in another environment. It's his environment. You know, even she wants to do that, she wants to go to the Bahamas, still he arranged to go to the Bahamas. It's his environment. Then she controls, oh, let's go to dinner, oh, let's go dance, oh, let's go to the beach. But she's controlling within his environment. Like that. So that's the whole thing. So he's thinking, oh, my arranging everything for her, I'm controlled by her. But that he arranged it, it makes it his environment. It puts him in control. That's where his control is. Then what will be done with it, that's her control. Just like you're driving the car and the other person's saying, let's go here, let's go there. But you say, oh no, I want to go where I want to go. But that means then it's double. So both spots have been taken by you. So where's the relationship? I'm the driver and I say where I go. So you want to do that, be in the car alone. Then you can do that, but then you're alone. You want to have someone else in the car, then you go where they want to go.